This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
We started this series, Growing Strong, a month ago. And it's been awesome. And we've had some guests pop in along the way. Today, I'm going to go to chapter 2. We covered chapter 1 about a month ago. And we talked about how God has placed all things under Jesus' feet, appointed him as head over everything in the church, and that he fills everything in us. He is everything. And that's the message of Ephesians is a letter to the Ephesian church. Paul wrote, this is sort of a capsulation of what it's like to walk as a believer. So it's a great primer on Christianity. And if you missed that first message, you can go back and catch it on the archives. But today we're going to start in chapter 2, verse 1. Why don't you follow along as I read. Verse 1, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. God, your word, as we sang a minute ago, it's a sword, it pierces. Lord, today we desperately need us separated from our fleshly ways, separated from you, God, in your heart. Today, in your mercy, in your kindness, would you reveal those areas to us today and by grace allow us to deal with things that need to be dealt with. I ask, Holy Spirit, you reveal Jesus to us today in greater measure so that we might know this love the Father has for us. In his name we ask it. Amen. 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 See, this is the essence of what it means to be a Christian. Not that you go to church, not that you read your Bible, not that you pray a prayer, not that you give in the offering, although all those are wonderful things. But that's not the essence of what being a Christian, a Christ follower is about. That's what we're going to talk about today. Here's the point that Paul makes emphatically here. Jesus didn't die to make bad people better. He died to bring the dead to life. See, that's the example that Paul uses. I think it's very graphic. As a writer, I love when I can get a picture. And man, I can picture this. You know, it isn't just to be a nice person. It's you were dead, and Jesus brought you back to life. This is kind of a big deal, right? How many of you know from death to life is a big deal? That's quite a leap. And yet that's what Paul lays out as a picture of what it's like to follow Jesus. And I think that the reason why he takes us back there is this. You can never forget where you've come from, or you should never forget that you were dead. Apart from Christ, you were dead. And if we forget that, if we forget from whence we've come, we can't appreciate the place we're at. That's a good quote right there. I don't know if I originated it, but it sounded like I said it, so I like that. Attribute that to me. If you don't appreciate where you're at, you can't, if you don't remember where you've come from, you can't appreciate where you're at today. It does something in you, it makes you grateful. I think that's one of the things that happens when I take teams to the DR. This is my fifth, I think, trip. I've lost count. I love it. I love to go, but I also love to take people because, you know, it helps you realize, wow, I'm so grateful for what God has done for me. You see people that are in situations, you're like, man, I'm a spoiled brat kid, you know? I was dead in my sin. Listen, it isn't politically correct to say that today, but I'm sorry, that's the truth, that without Jesus, we're dead. We're not just in need of help. No, you're dead, bro. You know, you're laid out, you're flatlined. That's life apart from Jesus. There is no life apart from Jesus. But we who have been made alive from the dead, let's not forget, lest we be tempted to criticize and look down on and be critical and judgmental of those who are still walking around that way. Are you following me today? We can turn up our nose and say, well, they shouldn't be like that, or they should act like this, or I wish they were more like me. And we're like, we don't wish that, you know? Because what we want is like Jesus. That's what we want. Not like you. We want like Jesus. And those who are in darkness and still living death, they need to know that there is hope for them. Not more condemnation from the church that's self-righteous. Come on now, I'm preaching today. Bragging about our self-righteousness is not going to get them or us anywhere other than where we're at, which is a religious mess. You know, it's interesting that I had this message planned. I kind of fleshed it out in Colorado, and I held it. And this was the week I decided to release it. And it's just the timing and the sovereignty of God that we saw what we saw this week in Baton Rouge and in Minnesota and in Dallas. Come on, we live in a world that is drowning in death. The example that we saw in those cities of sin on display and the end result in death. I'm talking real death. I'm talking seven families burying people that they love. Talk about the fruit of sin and death. It's like, thank you, Jesus. You're a better preacher than I am. This is such a stark, in your face, we can't ignore example of death at work in our culture. And it's sickening. That's exactly why we have to, as the church, understand where we've come from. If we were dead and have been brought to life, how much more are we now responsible for that message of death to life and to wake up? Can I just tell you that I believe sometimes we're guilty of forgetting. You know, we're guilty of forgetting where we've come from. Paul said, again, repeating in verse 2, you were dead in your transgressions. Turn to your neighbor and said, he's talking to you. You were dead. You were dead in your transgressions. Dead is dead, man. Dead is gnarly, nasty. I don't like death. Do you like death? I don't enjoy it at all. You know, it's like, it's not pleasant. It's awkward. It's uncomfortable. Paul says, you were dead in which you used to live. Say to your neighbor, you used to live that way. Used to is a Missouri word, by the way. If you're not familiar with the language, used to. U-S-T-A, used to. Right, Katie? Used to. You used to live that way when you followed the ways of this world. And the ruler of the kingdom, what's that all about? Who's the ruler of the kingdom of the air? Who is that? Voldemort? No, it's our enemy, Satan, the devil, the dude who is the true enemy. He's the bad guy, all right? Listen, sin isn't a black or white issue. It is a authorship of the enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's where death, that's where sin originates. Sin is entered into this equation because of the enemy of our soul who frankly hates you. Not because you're all that, but because you were created in someone else's image. Whose image would that be? God. Who loves you. Therefore, you're a target. Hate to tell you that. Got a big bullseye on your back. You're immaterial to him. He's after God. He's wanting to get to God. And he'll use sin and death and destruction. See that we forget. We think it's about the issues we read about on the headlines. That's not it. There's something behind that. There's an enemy at work. And if we don't know that, we're already kind of his captor. We're taken captive by him. We're prisoners of war. Paul says, verse 3, all of us. I think that includes all of us. Right? As far as I know. In the Hebrew, all of us means all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Apart from Jesus, Paul says we deserve what? The W word, which we don't use a lot. Wrath. Exactly. See, that's not politically correct. The scripture says sin leads to death. There's no other way around it. It's where that road goes. And it's not politically correct to point out the fact that apart from Jesus, we're dead. Oh, he just wants to make you a better person. No, Jesus didn't die to make you a better person. He died to bring the dead to life. And apart from him, you're dead. Man, this is like, I know it sounds silly. I've been walking with the Lord for over 40 years. Hard to believe, looking at this young face. I understand that. But and when I read that, you know, on my time away, it's like, man, death is, that's like pretty bad. That's about as bad as it gets, right? There's no life left in you. Then I see the events of this week and I realize, man, death is at work in my culture I live in a big time way. If we get caught up though in frankly battles and wars of words that don't matter. We blame people instead of recognizing the true enemy is sin that we're warring against. Sinners worthy of wrath. God doesn't wink at sin. It's not loving to tell someone that God's okay with you living however you want to live. No, that's not right. There was a way that seems right to man, Proverbs says, but the end thereof is death. And there's no sugarcoating that, baby. Death is ugly. Death is you know, nothing that you can pretty up. You know, you can put lipstick on the pig, right? But it's still what? Still ugly. It's still death. But neither do we do anybody any favors by using our Bibles as billy clubs, right? Because what did Jesus do with people who were dead in sin? What did he do with those even who nailed him to that cross? What did he ask the Father to do? Get them. Beat them up. Grind them to dust. Now, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Church, I'm talking to believers now. I'm telling you, if you've been made alive from the dead, don't be looking down your nose at those who are still walking in darkness. You have a job to do. It's not to condemn. It's to spread life to them. Coming to Christ, being a Christ follower, is nothing more or less than this. Being brought back to life from death. You want to know what it means to follow Jesus? There you go. You were dead, and now you're alive. That's quite a sensational story. Have you ever read stories or, you know, heard a testimony of someone who literally died, like their heart stopped? Maybe they saw a tunnel of light, or maybe they saw angels. Maybe they actually saw Jesus. That happens, right? It happens. And when it does, man, it's a sensational story. You end up on Oprah, baby. That happens to you. It's like the world's going to know about it. How many of you have been brought back from death to life in Jesus? You got quite a story to tell there, don't you? Come on, that's a story worth telling. That's a story that people still walking around in darkness and death need to hear about. It's not that you're a good person, that you go to church. No, you've been brought back from the dead. That's it. That's sensational news. Tell me about that. I want to hear about that. You've got something that needs to be told, a story that needs to be heard. But it's got to start with that point of realizing that I was dead. I was dead in my sin. And death is uncomfortable, and death is awkward, and death is ugly, and we don't want to deal with it. So to bring the point home today, I decided that I would have a little help in demonstrating what death kind of looks like. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, nobody wants to face death, myself included. But it's a part of the reality of this life that we live. I can't think of a more effective way to demonstrate that. Sorry for those of you who sat in the middle rows. By the way, this box is empty. Just FYI. There's nobody in there. But just the sight of that wooden box. Come on now. What does that do anything to you that it, like it does to me? Makes you just a little uncomfortable? Just slightly? Come on. You're not dead, right? You can respond. Isn't that just a little uncomfortable to have that in the room? I kind of think so too. But as I was preparing this message and the picture that I had in my mind, I thought, I know a guy that works at a place like that. And I asked Madison, can I borrow a casket? Sure, why not? Now, I'll be truthful with you. I had no idea that I would be bringing this message on the week that we saw seven families lose people that they love. I had no idea that Christopher would lose his grandpa this week. I asked his permission to do this because that brings up pain. I mean, some of you had a flashback to a person that you loved. You saw laying in a box like that. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cause you pain. But that pain is a great telegraph of the pain in the Father's heart. Death was never meant to be a part of this experience. How many of you know God didn't create Adam and Eve to die? He created them to live in the garden with him, to enjoy fellowship, relationship, to walk together. Death wasn't supposed to be a part of it, but it happened, didn't it? And how did it happen? Because of us. Adam and Eve just couldn't stand it. What's crazy, and I don't understand this, but it's true, God must have known that that was an option. Because he gave man a free will, didn't he? He didn't make robot slaves who would love him automatically and have no choice. He gave them a choice, and they chose poorly. As a result, death entered the world. You see, as a pastor, one of the things that I do is I get to see a lot of boxes because I preach a lot of funerals. I've preached some people that you know. I've had infants, my own daughter, laid in a box like that. I've had people who've taken their own lives, left devastated family behind. It's like, you name it. And it's never pretty. But I do get a chance in that moment when families' hearts are tender to speak truth. As opposed to most of the weddings I do where there's a whole lot of just crazy, you know, fussing about the flowers and stuff. Those things don't matter really anymore when that's in the room. It just kind of tends to work that way. At least for a while. And then like we are, 2 or 3 weeks after that box goes away, we forget the importance of the lessons that we learned in that moment. How brief life truly is. Can I say this without it sounding super, like, you know, bumper sticker-ish? Every minute counts. Every moment counts. Every relationship matters. Even those you're not getting along with. Can I tell you that you don't want to go in that box taking regrets with you. You just don't want to do that. And you only remember that when you see the box. So today I wanted to use that as just a visual reminder, painful as it is, of how God's heart must ache, that this is not what he intended, and yet it's a reality. And Paul says that's what it's like apart from Christ right there. You'll never forget this illustration. Guys, get that out of my sight. I don't want to see it anymore because that's not the picture I want to leave you with today. I want to take this now and look forward. We're not looking back anymore, right? We're looking forward. What does God have in mind? How many of you know that death was the enemy's plan? Death's not God's plan. God has a much, much, much better plan than that. I'd rather focus on his plan today. Will you allow me to do that? Paul says the way that we look at our life before Christ was we were dead in sin. And then he uses this example. He says, but thanks be to God. Thanks be to God in his grace. He didn't leave us that way. He did not allow us to just say, that's the end of the story. No, how many of you know that is not the end of the story? Just like the empty tomb was not the end. Well, I'm sorry. The cross, the tomb was not the end of Jesus' story. That tomb is empty today, right? Just like that coffin went out of here. It's empty. There's nobody in there because Jesus came to prove he has power even over the greatest enemy man ever faced. This is an interesting way to think of it. If you get bit by a rattlesnake tomorrow, heaven forbid, but if you did and you went to the ER, what are they going to give you to help counter that venom? Venom. The thing that brought you the injury is the thing that will be a part of your redemption, your rescue. Jesus had to taste death. He had to taste the very thing that the enemy wanted to work for our harm. And Jesus said, listen, I'll take that on. And he experienced death for us. And as the Son of God proved, it no longer has power over you. Somebody should be shouting and clapping right there. See, to the believer, that box isn't the end of the story. That's just the earth suit, right, that we wear. Someday I'm going to get a new set of clothes. Lord knows I need it, right? It's like, come on. We aren't meant just for our destiny to be on this earth, and then we go to dust and we're done. No, we have an eternity to spend with him. If you're a Christ follower, you are brought back from dead to life so that you can experience, Jesus said, life to the full here and now and a home in heaven. In the meantime, you're here though, right? You're here. You're right. You're present on the earth. So you have a purpose. You are one of those transmitters of life to people around you, because how many of you know you got walking dead all around you? There's some here today that have never crossed from death into life. And that's what we do, man. That's what we're here to talk about, is experiencing life from the dead, because God's not finished with your story or mine. Sometimes we forget that we were dead and that we're now alive. And we're walking around maybe like Lazarus, you know. Jesus wasn't satisfied. He wanted to show that he had power over death. He called Lazarus out of his grave, and Lazarus comes walking out, you know, Michael Jackson, Thriller kind of thing. And what they say to do to him? He said, loose him and let him go. Because he still had grave clothes on. Some of us might have been raised from the dead and we're experiencing new life, but we're still walking around wrapped up. And today God wants to set you free to run, to be unhindered in your movement, to be able to demonstrate what it's like to be those who have been called out of death into life. So if people who are brought back from dead to life have a story to tell, what's your story today? Say, I mean, without meddling, you know, I would never meddle, but if you don't have a death to life story, perhaps you're still dead. You need to experience the life in Jesus today to know what that's like. Does that mean you'll never struggle again? You'll never be tempted again? You'll never blow it again? I hope not. That's not been my experience. It's sort of like when I'm tempted, here's the way I look at it. This might help you guys especially. This, for me as a man, this is how I look at it. When I'm tempted to sin, it's as gross as me saying, I think I'll crawl back in that box again. I think I'll just get back in there. That's morbid. That's gross. Just as it would be for a person who's come back from the dead to life to want to go back to dead again. Why would you do that? The scripture says, though, that even when we choose that, that we still have an advocate with the Father. That if we are faithful to confess our sins, if we will humble ourselves and say, God, I don't want that as a part of my life anymore. Forgive me. He's faithful and just to forgive, to cleanse us, to restore us. That's the good news. That even though we blow it in our weakness, God is faithful when we're not faithful. Isn't that good news today? God is faithful when we are not. Today I want you to be loose to tell your story. You know, part of my story was I never intended to be a pastor at all. Wasn't on my radar anywhere. And Tom, you'll remember this story. We were at a church I was a part of. Tim was there too. We had a man of God come to visit the city, and he was known as a guy that moved in the prophetic gifts a lot, you know, real just a guy that heard God's voice in a good way, you know, and would be a mouthpiece that God would use to encourage and exhort the body. And we were in this meeting, and I was running sound like Shane back there. And he, right off the bat, he starts to describe me, you know. I mean, he wasn't looking at me, but he was reading my mail, you know what I mean? And I knew he was talking about me. And he said, I want to pray for that person first, whoever this is. He listed the descriptors, and I was like, yep, he's got me nailed. So it was me, and I had to go up front, you know, in front of everybody. He prayed for me, and the way he did it was he put his hand on my mouth, just like that. And he said, I see fire on your lips. And he didn't know that my profession is I was a broadcaster. That's what I did in those years. I was on the radio. I just got back from the Middle East where what I did was heard over a third of the world, you know, the stuff that we put out over the air. He didn't know that. And he puts his hand on my mouth and says, I see fire on your lips. And then he said this, and I'll never forget it, and it imprinted on me for the rest of my life. Even put the words here up on the screen so you could see it. He said this. He said, son, there are many dead people walking around in this city that you are to reveal the living Son of God to. And I was like, wow, in this city, really? I'd just gone to the Middle East. I had all kinds of aspirations for other stuff, you know? It was kind of discouraging to me. In this city? But see, here's the thing. God will always have his way. I'm back. And that reality, that I see it as sort of as a mantle. A mantle was put on me that took, what, 30 years? That was 1985. Took over 30 years. But by golly, it's come to pass. And I believe it's the reason why we're here. I believe it's the reason why we planted a church at Second and Francis, because we have been called to be those who will help dead people come back to life by introducing them to the living Son of God. That's our call as a church. I mean, because I'm your leader, probably the ministry is going to take on the calling of the leader. And guess what? That's what we're going to do. We're going to help dead people come back to life, to expose to those living in darkness the light that can bring them to life. To me, that's why I do this. It's what I'm excited about. It looks a lot like this. When we were demonstrating, or we were doing our demo in this building, we saved all the stuff that we tore out, at least the stuff that we thought we could reuse. And this is one of the pieces that we found. This is the old knife switch breaker stuff, I guess, that we found, that we kept. And I thought it was so cool, I was going to use it somehow. Well, today I'm going to use it to demonstrate what it's like. See, when God brings a man or a woman from death to life, it's no small thing. It's, you know, you were dead, and God brought you to life. And that life produces a result. And it looks a lot like this. You, I'm not going to put my mic away because I got to.
You were dead. You had nothing going on. See? And then in Jesus, he brought you back to life. And you're lit up.
You're lit up now. You have something. You have power flowing through you. Now, some of us are a little dim, right? Like me. Some of us, the switch has been flipped, but we don't know what's going on in there, right? There's a demonstration of the fact that power is flowing through you. No, sorry. God wants to bring death to life and for it to be demonstrated by the light that you share wherever you go. I think that's the first step in whatever we're going to do in this city, is bringing dead people back to life. When people walk into this church and say, what are you all about? We're about helping dead people come back to life. That's step one, right? That's got to be the place where we begin. We, the leadership team and I, have been really massaging and working on our particular strategy. We know that Jesus gave the church, big church, the mandate. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, make disciples, baptize. That's our big mission from Jesus. But what does that mission look like at Restoration? Specifically, what's he called us to do? He's called us to bring dead people back to life. And it's so cool that we are in the middle of an awesome old industrial warehouse where we can visually depict that. This is going up on the wall out there, along with some other visual demonstrations that I'll be introducing to you over the next several weeks. But we want it to be very clear. What is our mission? Church, this is why we're here. We're not here so you could sit in a pretty well-vacuumed chair. Thank you, Eileen, who cleaned the chairs yesterday. we're here to bring dead people to life. We don't do it. Jesus does. But guess what? He wants to use alive people to help bring other people to life. And that's our mission. That's why we're here. Not just so we can just have church. We can sit in a chair and encourage each other. That's a part of it. We got dead people walking around that we need to reveal the living Son of God to. And that's the point today, to be plugged into the power source. See, religion isn't the answer. Jesus is the answer to a dead person's life. He's the one that brings the dead to life. You know, if you notice, I didn't have the casket and this illustration going at the same time. Otherwise, it'd been like a Frankenstein kind of thing, right? It's like, whoa, you'd be here knocking on the inside of that thing. It's like, no, that's just kind of creepy, right? That's weird. That's what it's like, though, when you try to find life anyplace else other than Jesus. You're still dead, bro. Frankenstein was pretty ugly, pretty weird, still dead. He might have had some movement, but he was still pretty ugly and dead. You try to find your life in anything other than Jesus. You try to find your life in relationships with people. That's why people go from relationship to relationship. They're looking for life. There's only one place to find life. It's not in booze. It's not in money. It's not in sex. It's not in power. It's not in the self-help books or your yoga instructor. It is in Jesus. That's where life comes from. Apart from Jesus, you are dead. In Jesus, you have life. And that life will be a light that others can see and know that there's hope for them because they're living in darkness where we once lived. Only if you can appreciate the fact that you were dead can you realize there's a reason why I'm alive today, that God has brought light to me. Paul says it later in the chapter, verse 12, remember that at that time, when you were dead, you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise. That just basically means you weren't God's part of God's people, without hope, without God in the world. But now, everybody say, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. See, you have access to the Father now. Your relationship has been restored. You are reconnected to the power source. How did that happen? What'd Paul say? Through the blood of Christ, the sacrifice made for you, the sacrifice that atoned for your sin. You're no longer under wrath because of what Jesus did and demonstrating it by rising from the dead. You're now reconnected to the Father. And that is worth celebrating and telling somebody about because you have a story. You've been brought back from the dead. You have a life to share with people. Why do we get so distracted by the stuff that doesn't matter? We should be talking about life, right? See, that's the great smokescreen of this week. Sin is not a black or white issue. I said it a while ago. Sin is the root of what we see in our world, and sin is only dealt with through the blood of Christ, and only through him are you made alive from the dead. That's why tonight we're not just going to have a little wonderful, sanitized, time of whatever I'm not going to call it prayer because it's not prayer. We're going to deal with God. We're going to go get on our face and say, God, we need you. Only you have the answer for this. We need life from the dead. We must have it. And we can be agents of that life if we yield ourselves to it. My view of this church is that we're here to help dead people experience life and live people to act like it. All right? That's my mission. That's my agenda. So Paul was talking about in verse 10, he said the good works. Did you catch that? Those are the good works we're called to do, to help people experience life in Jesus. And today, if you've come here and you've not experienced that life from the dead, then I'm not trying to be mean or force my agenda on you. I'm telling you, you're dead. Apart from Jesus, you're dead. It's not a condemning statement. It's just a reality. But Jesus died so that you could experience life, full life. And today that's an invitation to you. And if you're a believer, I just want to say, if you claim to be one who's been brought back, then act like it. And get on God's agenda. And instead of being distracted by the stuff you see around you and getting on Facebook and shooting off your mouth or having an attitude or whatever that we do, none of that was a part of the commission that Jesus gave us, was it? He said, go, preach the gospel, this good news. Because only this will solve the answer of the problems that we see around us today. You know, it's interesting that tonight when these pastors and churches come together, these are people that I have a relationship with. It wasn't a knee-jerk reaction because of a crisis. It's the fruit of a relationship. If we truly say we believe this, then we're going to live it every day, not just when there's a problem. It's when we're tested and we're tempted to get crosswise with one another. That's when the fruit of this really comes into play. So today the invitation is twofold. It's to those who've not experienced life from the dead yet. It's for those who have said they've experienced life, but you're still walking dead, still got wrappings on you. We want to set you free today. Jesus does. Why don't you stand to your feet? Let me pray for you this morning. So you can say this. That's awful strong words. Say I'm dead. I'm not that bad. I'm a good person. Bro, listen, apart from Jesus, you're dead. And I love you enough to tell you that people around you know that. They can smell you. Right? Because that's what happens when you're dead. And we've all been there. How many of you were dead and Jesus brought you back to life? See, let's not forget what that was like. So that we can be grateful and so that we can have compassion on those who are still walking around, not knowing that there's more, that there's life in this life, let alone life to come. Believers, I think we are the ones that have to repent. That's why 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people will get it together. I love it. You know, here in 2 weeks, our team is going to the Dominican Republic to bring dead people back to life. How many of you know that there's dead people here, though, that need to be brought back to life? In a month, I get to go to the Blackfeet Reservation in Montana and help bring people who are dead back to life with Pastor Roy and Honey Wolfdale. Remember them? Man, I'm so pumped to get a chance to export what we've been given here to places outside of here. But we can't neglect or overlook the importance of today, here and now. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Today, the grace of God is extended to you. If you're dead, if you've never said yes to his gift of life, man, I'm not going to let you out of here. We're going to have a smell test at the door, right? Are you dead? I'm sorry, but there's a lot of believers who wouldn't pass the smell test. Am I speaking truth today? There's still a stench of death on a lot of us. We still got some unwrapping to do. So if you close your eyes and bow your head, I want to pray for you today. See, Jesus is on the greatest rescue mission ever conceived. He's out to rescue people from the dead and bring them to life. But here's the prerequisite for being rescued. You gotta be dead. If you're not willing to admit you're dead, then you can't be rescued. I think today you know. You know if you're experiencing death. You know if you've given up hope that there could ever be more than the situation you're looking at right now. So if that's you and you want to say yes to the gift of life in Jesus for the very first time, not going to have anybody looking around, just me and you. I want you to raise your hand and look up at me so that I can see you and we can make eye contact. If that's you and you want to experience new life in Jesus today, let me see your hand. This is what he died for, so that you could be brought back from death to life. See, this wasn't a decision really that you're making today. This is one that was made over 2,000 years ago when Jesus hung on that cross for you, so you could experience life from the dead. Anyone here today want to take him up on the offer? Man, I'm hoping everybody here is a believer. Church, I want to let you know something. In love, I'm going to keep pushing you. We got to get more dead people in here. Are you hearing me? We got to get more dead people in here, because this is what it's all about. But believers, so to you, I need to say this. You say you've been brought back to life. Are you living that way? Is there still a stench of death on you that's repelling people? Because all they see is the same death that they've known. What difference is there about you? You still walking with some grave clothes on? Are you still letting attitudes, old ways of thinking, criticism, judgmentalism, you letting that stuff creep back in so that people aren't seeing hope in you? Your light might be lit, but it's just kind of flickering a little bit. You need a recharge today. You want to get that connection solid. Raise your hand so I can pray for you today. If you need Jesus to amp you up, to crank up your voltage today. Come on, let's go high capacity. Let's go high beams today. This is the one shot we got. This is it. This is our moment. And when things like Dallas, Texas, and Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and Minnesota happen, and we shake our head, we say, what a shame. And then for the next breath, we start being critical. Instead, we're supposed to be lights. Thank you for your honesty today. Let's pray out loud together. Everybody repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for life. I was dead, and you brought me to life. And I'm grateful today. Let me never forget, I was the one dead in my sin, worthy of your wrath. But you, God, in your love, your mercy, you rescued me. I'm a rescued one. Help me to live like it. Forgive me of my petty thinking. Forgive me of trying to crawl back in the casket. I need to be a light shining bright in this world for you. Thank you, God, that your grace is sufficient for me. And today, I receive new life in Jesus. Increase my capacity for life. Make me a high voltage wire. So when people come in contact with me, they get touched by you. That's good. You don't have to repeat that. You don't have to. It is good. If you agree, say amen. Let's thank God today for vision, for a mission to bring dead people back to life. Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit restorationstj.com, or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.